On September 26, 2014, more than 50 students from the Ayotzinapa School for Teachers in Mexico got on a couple of buses. They were headed to the country's capital to join a protest that weekend. 43 of those students disappeared. They were taken at gunpoint after the buses they were riding on were stopped.
For the 43 kidnapped students in Mexico who are
students in Mexico, keep the pressure on the government.
Ayotzinapa are in their late teens or early 20s.
That is part of NPR's Latino USA recent two-year anniversary coverage of the Ayotzinapa tragedy. An inquiry by the Mexican government claimed corrupt local authorities were responsible. It determined that local police, possibly at the order of the local mayor, turned the students over to a drug gang which massacred them. But many family members of victims don't believe all of the government's account. They point to an impartial panel of Latin American investigators, which also disagreed with the findings and said the investigation should continue. Meanwhile, some family members cling to hope that their children are still alive. Two such family members, both fathers of boys impacted by the kidnapping, visit Michigan State University today. One father's son is unaccounted for, still missing. The other's son barely escaped. Some of these family members have toured parts of the United States to tell their story and plead for help. Here to talk about what happened to the students and what's happening today as well. Two guests participating in today's MSU events. Miguel Cabañas is professor of MSU of Romance and Classical Studies at Michigan State University. Welcome back, Miguel.
Oh, thank you.
And Jose Badillo is an MSU graduate student from Mexico who's writing his doctoral dissertation on corruption in his native country. Welcome, Jose.
Thank you.
The two fathers, Mr. De La Cruz and Mr. Contreras, are visiting East Lansing as part of an ongoing tour called Caravana 43. What is Caravana 43? What's it trying to accomplish?
Caravana 43 started in the spring of 2015, and they came to the United States to bring attention to the issue of Ayotzinapa and the lack of justice perpetrated in Mexico. So they came to get the support of the Mexican community and also to get the attention of the U.S. Authorities to help them to pressure the Mexican government to continue the investigation that they closed very, very rapidly without really attaining a good end to the investigation. So they came last year to MSU. They were here, and this year they're coming back again because nothing has changed. They haven't found their kids, and there's still 43 people and even more people in Guerrero still missing.
What can you tell us about your visitors' sons? We know that that Mr. Contreras' son was abducted and disappeared. Mr. De La Cruz's son was more fortunate. What happened to him?
He actually, his story is remarkable. He has pictures of what happened. He saw his mates fallen by the bullets of the police, and he actually he's still very much depressed, psychologically depressing, as he says. He feels like he's dead, that nothing can happen to him until he finds his friends.
Jose Badillo, as a MSU graduate student who grew up in Mexico, give us your perspective on what we've talked about so far here and what happened with these Ayotzinapa students.
Well, it's hard to tell exactly what happened to the students. We know that they disappeared and that the authorities were involved, but it's difficult to find their whereabouts. It's so difficult to uncover all this when you have local authorities, state, federal police, the army, when they're all involved, and it's hard. It's just difficult to find an answer when there's so much corruption behind it.
Mm. And it's hard to generalize, I'm sure, because we're talking about 43 different families who've been jarred by this tragedy. But have most parents abandoned hope that they will see their kids again, or do some think that they will?
I think they still have hope. They're still hoping to find their children alive. you know, and that's what they say. You know, they took him alive, give him back to us alive.
I think so too. You know, part of this, the caravana, you know, it's a process that's not ending. They're not going to stop until they, you know, find their sons, or until they find, you know, their bodies. There's no closure until, you know, they know what happened to their sons.
You've both studied this abduction and disappearance and the ensuing investigations and all the disagreements involved in this. What do you think happened, Miguel?
I think, you know, it's clear that the investigation by the Justice Department in Mexico was flawed. And, you know, the experts from other parts of Latin America have found that incorrect. And, you know, there's also a clear thing that happened that we know now that the military knew about it. They were watching the whole thing happened, and they didn't do anything about it. So, you know, it's not clear. Obviously, we can't know what happened until there's a full investigation. But we know that the findings by the government panel were not correct, because the military knew about it. They were just watching. They didn't, you know, help the civilians. And also, there's new reports that the federal police was involved, and therefore, you know, the investigation is totally flawed. It wasn't a local job. It was also a collusion between the authorities and the drug gangs.
You referred to a government panel, though. This is actually, let's clarify here, wasn't that an international panel that was brought in to analyze the government's report on what happened?
Right. That's the experts. But, you know, the government itself, they actually put up a report, right, that contradicts that. And so, you know, so basically they said, you know, the military was not involved. They had nothing. You can't ask them questions. So they buried the whole investigation under the premise that, you know, the military is not corrupt. We can't ask them questions. The federal police was not involved, and therefore you have to stop the investigation. And that tells me that there's, you know, something buried, and there is a larger corruption and collusion story that needs to be uncovered.
I'm talking with MSU professor Miguel Cabañas and MSU student Jose Badillo, who is a native of Mexico. We're talking about problems in that country with drugs, gangs, and official corruption. Two others, parents of kids, involved in the 2014 kidnapping of 43 young adults attending the Ayotzinapa school. Those parents are visiting Michigan State today and will share their stories and discuss these problems creating strife in that country. Jose, you grew up in Mexico. Were you or your family able to witness the kind of corruption here that we're talking about here, or was it off your radar?
You know, growing up in Mexico, you know, just it becomes something normal. It becomes something that you live with. You know, just, you know, going to the store, driving, you get pulled over by the police, and if you don't want any problems, you know, taking your car to the junkyard or going to the police station, you just give them, you know, 50 pesos, $50, mm-hmm. You know. The gangs, you know, they were also, at least in the neighborhood where I grew up, the gangs were, you know, they work in collaboration with the police. They would stop by and, you know, they would, like, shake hands like, you know, they know each mm-hmm. other, like they knew each other, and they would walk away. I mean, I grew up with it, and I was always told, you know, just look away, don't say anything, mm-hmm. and you'll stay out of trouble.
What part of the country did you grow up in?
I grew up in Guadalajara. So Guadalajara is about seven or eight hours from Ayotzinapa.
The reason I ask is that I'm led to believe by reports that I've heard on NPR and other sources that there are parts of the country that are more susceptible to violence and corruption, and there are other parts of the country that are relatively free from this kind of thing. Is that the case, Jose, as you see it?
I think it used to be. It used to be more, you know, on the borders, because that's where, you know, the drug travels,
right.
You know, the coast, you know, all the ports. But now you see it, you know, everywhere. You see it, you know, on the main cities, touristic cities. I think Professor Cabañas was talking earlier about how bad it is in Guerrero.
Right. And Guerrero, for example, is very interesting. You know, so the poppy...
Let's make clear. Guerrero is the state in which the Ayotzinapa school is. It's in the southwestern part of the country.
That is correct. And there's a lot of indigenous communities there. In Guerrero has developed the poppy seed production, and so they've been creating this heroin production as the U.S. was, using more heroin, and and the marijuana was becoming more legal and available. Heroin has become the new source of big income, right? So some experts say that it's about $17 billion of the profits that area of Guerrero are getting from the heroin production.
$17 billion just from that part of one state in Mexico.
Yeah, and so that could be closer to $30 billion, right? So these are just estimates, but $17 billion.
We're just about out of time. Can the public attend any of the gatherings at MSU today?
Yes, they can. We have a big event. And we're going to review what happened in Ayotzinapa at 2:30 to 4:30. So they can come. It's a computer center, 402. And, everybody's invited. It's free for everybody. It will have a panel of experts talk after a video. And then we'll talk to the parents who know exactly what's happening, what has been happening in the last year in Ayotzinapa, and their, the whole thing, how they is developed in Mexico, how what the strides they're trying to accomplish, new things, and how the movement is doing.
Again, two fathers of young men who attended the Ayotzinapa Teachers Education School in Iguala, Mexico. Both of whom were impacted. One's son is still missing. The others miraculously escaped. They will be at 402 Computer Center, 2:30 this afternoon at Michigan State University. We want to thank MSU Professor Miguel Cabañas and MSU graduate student Jose Badillo. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.